Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. Darren Priest is here from the Columbia School Board. I can't say that much longer, Darren, can I?
No, that's true. This is my last shot at it.
Well,
at least this go around.
Whoa, leaving the door open for another one, perhaps. Thank you for what you've done. And we'll talk about that later on in this 25 minutes of time that we have together, because I want to talk about some of the things from last night's school board meeting first. Mm-hmm. Security is on everybody's mind. Let's hit security first. What did you hear last night that was different than what we've already known that the Columbia Public School District is doing with security?
I don't think we heard anything differently. The fact is that we take safety and security extremely seriously. It doesn't take a tragedy for us to analyze our systems and make sure that we're doing the best things. You know, we've got a safety and security administrator, John White, who spends every waking moment thinking about how to keep our kids safe in the school buildings and around the school buildings. And he told us last night that, you know, when he sees something that he thinks we need to do to make improvements, he asks for it and he gets it. This board and this administration has been incredibly supportive of making safety and security improvements. After Newtown several years ago, we made some improvements that I think they make me feel a lot better. I'm not sure that we need to, we need to be cautious about making knee-jerk reactions when these tragedies happen, because the point is that we need to be constantly vigilant, constantly analyzing our systems and structures and processes and personnel, and we do that at CPS. And so you hate to think that a tragedy like this could ever happen in Columbia, Missouri, but we are doing everything we possibly can, and we've got a good, solid budget in place. We use the budget to prioritize safety and security. We heard from both teachers and students last night who, without prompting, pointed out that they feel safe in our schools and that they feel like our systems and structures and processes and personnel are all in place to keep them safe so that they can focus on educating students.
I can't imagine being an administrator at one of the specific schools or for the district, and I think we have heard over the last month how that is something that weighs heavily on them. I mean, it is something that is there, while at the same time, we have heard many who have said, how would you ever concoct a system that would prevent this 100%?
Right. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that John said last night that it stuck with me, but he said, you know, students can handle this because they have grown up with it. That kind of gives me chills. Teachers and faculty administration have not grown up with this. This is still a relatively new phenomenon, even though, Columbine was quite a few years ago now. But the fact is we have to deal with it, and we have to make sure that our systems are secure. I think that in Boone County, we actually have an advantage. You know, we passed that mental health sales tax several years ago. And so I tend to look at, what are the things that are going to engage students, create early warning systems, create remediation opportunities for students before it ever gets to the point of violence being part of the conversation. So we can talk about what we're doing in the buildings as a defensive posture. But I think the more important work happens well before then, all the way back to early childhood initiatives and making sure that students have every opportunity to be successful and that the curriculum is individualized so that students are getting that one-on-one attention. Those are the types of things that really make a difference in preventing these types of tragedies and creating the type of environment where students nor adults turn to violence as a solution to the crisis or the chaos or the mental health issues that are going on in their lives.
As the outgoing president of the school board, maybe you can answer this more than you would if you were not. Do you engage in the conversation of arming teachers or metal detectors or guards at the entrances proactively, or do you wait and say, let's see what the national attitude is? How do you do that?
So this is just my perspective, my opinion, but I think that the national conversation is almost purely rhetorical. So I think that we absolutely have to put everything on the table all the time. We need to be thinking about these things. And, last night we talked a little bit about what the effect of putting metal detectors in or adding armed security personnel. It's something I think communities need to be talking about. And I'll turn it back to what I was saying earlier. You have to make priority decisions. If you've got, you know, it's a finite amount of money that we have to deal with unless we want to go back and ask for another tax increase. But I don't, you know, my reading of the tea leaves says people aren't really into that right now. So you have to make priority decisions. And I do think it is a reasonable conversation to talk about things like metal detectors and more security personnel. For my money, I want to put that money into teachers and counselors and mental health professionals and the type of people that, like I said earlier, can really help us to create a healthy environment that is that honors student strengths and engages them in ways that they don't need to turn to violence.
This year we've done some high school basketball games, so I've had a chance to be at Battle and at Hickman and at Rockbridge. I love the enthusiasm. I love the liveliness of a high school setting. I mean, it's just really cool. If people haven't been there, they need to be there. Something struck me, though, as I was going to, and it was at Rockbridge. It was in the evening. I can't remember when it was. It was after what had happened in Parkland, Florida. And I go in a side door. There are several doors unlocked in the evening for a basketball game. Personally, I don't have a problem with that. It has to be that way because you're entering from several places. But it struck me within this environment, how long will it be before we are directed to one entrance and that the three bags that I was carrying with equipment in them are searched? And that makes me sad.
Yeah. And you balance that with a community's interest in having access to those buildings. Mm-hmm. You know, those are public buildings. You know, your listeners paid for those. And so they should have access to them. I don't think anybody wants to create prisons for our students. You know, that's not the kind of environment that Columbia wants. And you know, you have to really balance out logistics. So just, you know, this isn't like a you know, MU football game where you have to control the environment for 2 hours. This is pretty much 24/7. And if you congregate all of the students and all of the people coming into the building around one or two entrances, you have hundreds and hundreds of people all in one place at the same time. To me, that creates even greater danger and a softer target. So you have to be thinking about ways to mitigate those types of challenges. And to me, again, that's about engaging students in conversation. And, you know, we have initiatives, the look around, you know, if you see something, say something. We really, you know, parents and students all have to be vigilant. You know, let's not kid ourselves that this couldn't happen. But if we see a student that we have concerns about, we need to be letting those school personnel know about it. Kids need to let their parents know about it. All of, you know, we have to share information, and not just hope it doesn't happen.
Well, I will say on what you just said, that strikes close to something I am aware of. And I would say when that is told of students or staff and personnel, there needs to be communication post voicing of the concern about what is being done.
Yeah.
You know, you understand what I'm saying here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's a strange anomaly, but you see copycat actions after, you know, something like what we had in Parkland last month. And so we had a couple of kids who, you know, whether it was serious or just because they wanted to get everybody's goat, posted stuff on Facebook that they're going to, you know, cause a problem. And, you can't overemphasize how important and how serious we have to take this. This is not something that you can kid around about.
I think that there are, and I don't know whether most of the kids, and like I said, when I've gone to the high schools for these basketball games, I mean, they're enthusiastic, they're excited. I mean, they run the spectrum of everything. I see the community resource officers. They seem to really, I really admire how they make connections with the kids. I mean, and they really do. And there's some real good ones and the kids like them and they have just a good rapport, it seems to me. So all of this is positive and I agree with you totally. I mean, you could make it, like you said, a prison as tough to enter into a school as that. And you know what? You still wouldn't be able to prevent someone who was bent on violence from either setting out in a parking lot or setting across the street from someplace. And you just can't, as long as there are weapons in people's hands. And I'm not advocating that you take away all weapons. I'm just saying that the reality is you can, and then what the school can say is, well, it wasn't our, you know, wasn't on our property, or it wasn't in our buildings. But that doesn't cut it, you know, in the long run. It's got to be something more than that.
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it, but this is, we're talking about the balance of our American experience and safety versus freedom, you know, and I think that we have always placed a high value on freedom, and we're in a sort of a trust but verify type of environment now, where we have to create systems and make sure that our processes are solid so that we can prevent everything that we possibly can, knowing full well that we probably can't catch every single nuance.
Darren Priest is our guest. He's been the president for, what, a year or two?
Just 1 year.
And also been on the school board, did you tell me, 9 out of the last 13 years?
Yeah.
So his last meeting, you don't even go to the next meeting, huh?
No, I'll go there, yeah. And I'll slam the gavel one last time, and then I'll excuse myself.
Well, let's talk about something else that I'm curious as to, and it has to do with security, and it is the walkout that many students have talked about nationwide and locally. That what is the school board's role in regard to what the plan is, or is it just tell us what you've got planned so we're not surprised by this, administrators?
The board is actually kind of staying out of it. So the administration has taken the lead in terms of communication. I want to start by saying, you know, we had some students from the MAC Achievement Conference talking to us last night, incredibly mature, thoughtful, forward-thinking students who are looking at, you know, how students relate to each other, how they can support and promote each other's success. And so I'm thinking, you know, these are the kids who are leading this conversation about safety and security in our buildings. As examples, I don't know if they're specifically involved, but I think it's pretty powerful that we have young folks in our country and in our community who want to make a difference. They want to show that they care about these issues. And, you know, to some extent, they feel like adults haven't done enough to protect them and to change the dynamic of these types of conversations. So the board has not taken any position on the walkout this week, but personally, I am very supportive of it. You know, teachers can't play any kind of political role. They can't voice any particular perspective, but they certainly can help to keep the kids safe, make sure that it's, you know, relatively organized as students are leaving the building. But I say more power to them. It's been going on too long, and so what's going to change? Maybe students being involved will make the difference, and I think it's pretty impressive that they are interested in making a statement.
I agree with what you just said. That has been my approach. That's my feeling also. The school district at the end of last week did release, because, I mean, I requested it, and I got a initial response from the school district, and then a fuller response came when more people had asked the questions along the way last week about what is the plan. My question to this is the school plan. It says that district and building leaders have been working on a plan to address the possibility of a walkout by students should it occur, and says they have a right to free speech, also must occur within the context of not substantially disrupting the educational environment. We don't have a public plan we can share at this time, as we also have to be cautious of not providing specific plan details that then create additional safety concerns for us. Well, I think I understand part of that. I don't understand all of that, because it seems like we do need to know the plan so that if we do have children in those schools, we say, well, go into it knowing what the ramifications are. The plan would not only be, are you going to corral them into one place? Are you going to have them outside? Are you going to have them inside? Whatever it is. But the also part of that plan would be, are there any repercussions to taking part in this that you need to be aware of prior to doing it?
So this isn't free time. You know, we're not just saying that school's off and kids can go do whatever they want to. So the adults in the building will play a coordinating role and sort of keeping kids sort of in line and coordinated. Students can't just go off and do whatever they want to. You know, certainly we would have to take disciplinary action if students do anything that violates the policies of the individual school. But the goal is to make sure that this is done in a safe way, that the students can make their statement without, you know, we'll make every effort to make sure that, that students that aren't participating still can be engaged in their classroom activities. It's going to be disruptive. I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves about that. But the adults in the building will have a coordinated effort to make sure that kids are staying organized and safe.
But do we know whether this is going to be talked as an absence or a detention or any kind of punishment for taking part in it?
My understanding is that there will not be disciplinary action for participating in the walkout.
And what it is, if it goes as organizers have asked for it to go, it'd be 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for 17 minutes.
Right.
One minute for each of the 17 killed at the high school in Parkland. And as I understand it also, that is supposed to be a time of silence.
Right.
So 17 minutes of silence at 10 o'clock tomorrow. You know, that's not the worst thing that's going to be happening in the world. Yeah. That's a good thing. It's a showing of some solidarity.
And just imagine if millions of students around the country all participate respectfully and make that statement. I think it really will go a long way.
Anything else that we should talk about in regard to this topic that's related, the walkout tomorrow with the security that the school has planned?
I appreciate what you said about the security officers that, you know, we have one assigned to each of the high schools, and then Douglas High School has rotating officers. Dr. DeVille has really taken a, in my opinion, a brilliant approach that, you know, the more officers that students see in a very positive way, the more they build relationships, the more likely they are to react in sort of collegial ways out on the streets. And I think that we've got a great relationship with the county sheriff and the Columbia Police Department, and we're always looking for ways to enhance what we're doing. I can't thank those officers enough for what they do and for, like you said, the relationships they have with students and the care with which they go about their work.
I saw the one from Rockbridge over at Blue Springs a week or so ago at the district tournaments. They're out of uniform, but let's see, at the end of that game, and I mean, it was an emotional game because the referee's going to let it get out of hand, but that's another issue at the end of the game.
Right.
But she stepped forward, and you could see her great attitude of working with the students just to say, hey, calm down. And there were officers there from Blue Springs to keep things. But it never got to the point where there was going to be any violence. But, you know, kids yelling back and forth at each other, you never know. But it was pretty cool.
I've seen adults act just as adults
in the stands are just as bad, even worse than the kids, because I think the kids are doing it with sometimes a sense of humor, and it's kind of fun to see. But she stepped forward, and, you know, they recognized her, and she, I think, most always has had a very pleasant expression and smile on her face, and things didn't ever escalate to anything that was even close to happening.
Difference.
But, you know, she was there on the road as someone who had taken enough interest to go and to be concerned to be there. Well, you wrap up your term. What do you say to those who look at the school board and it's another one of those places that you can cast great aspersion because it's an authority and it's a entity that is ripe for criticism sometimes. What do you see from the inside that you would leave us with?
Yeah, I said this earlier, but I think trust but verify. One of my proudest achievements is hiring Dr. Stiepelman as superintendent. He's been a phenomenal administrator, and he's leading a cultural shift and really looking at ways to improve the achievement gap. And you know, his saying of "we are one," we really hope to see that spread across the entire community. And in many ways, it truly has. But it's $200 million a year of public money. And I think that the public should always hold the school board and the administration to account in terms of transparency and the achievement of our students. I believe that they've done a fantastic job. I am very, very proud of Columbia Public Schools and whatever little role that I've had in that. But I always want to see the community, you know, coming out to the board meetings, asking questions, making public comments, talking to board members outside of the board meetings, sharing their concerns and their interests, and hopefully some kudos along the way. We don't hear those nearly often enough. But I think the engagement level of this community has made all the difference in terms of the quality of our schools and the quality of life here in Columbia.
Well, I think so also. I would hope that those who have the concerns for specific schools would also voice their opinion, because I think they need to be heard. I mean, and again, we don't have time to go into the details, and I'll save that for other people. But I think that there are there are differences in the schools, and the schools need to have those differences addressed.
Yeah, differences in both the neighborhood and the culture of the school. Not to mention the fact that, you know, we've been building schools over, you know, more than 100 years. So there's physical issues with buildings across the way. You know, even looking at the new middle school that we'll be building down south, assuming that the bond issue on April 3rd passes, you know, we're designing that with security in mind. So right from the get-go, you'll buzz into a vestibule type of area rather than just getting into the school, and then you'll go through the office. So at the same time, we want to use some of the money in the bond issue to look at the design of older buildings and see if we can restructure some of them with security and safety in mind. So it's an ongoing challenge with a school district this size to constantly be evolving and transitioning to the newest best practice. And we will continue to make every effort to do so.
Other importance of passing the bond issue in addition to security issues?
Absolutely. So there's about $750,000 in the bond issue that's directly related to safety and security. And that's exactly what I was talking about, looking at the design of buildings and looking for ways to use the building itself as a matter of safety and security. We also would upgrade our security, camera systems with funding in the bond to have a more integrated approach, higher definition so we can see more within the buildings around the clock. All of that is part of our approach to improving our safety.
And build a gym for Jefferson Middle School.
And a gym for Jeff Middle School, expanding Lee Elementary.
Getting rid of some more trailers.
We'll get down to functional zero if this bond issue passes, meaning there will always be some trailers because there will be bubbles in attendance or in student enrollment from, you know, in a grade or in a school. So we'll move those around from time to time. But essentially, after this bond issue, we'll be down to zero trailers after having been at around 160 when I started on the school board in 2005.
April 3rd is the vote. Peter Stiepelman, the superintendent, will be making a presentation at 6:30 tonight at the League of Women Voters in Columbia Public Library Forum. And you can hear that on KFRU and hear more details if you can't be there. Thank you so much for the time that you have come and for your leadership. I have great respect for what you have done through various roles in this community, not just at the Columbia Public Board of Education, but also with PedNet and other things that you've been involved in. You've helped me see good leadership. So thanks, Darren.
Thanks so much. It's really been an honor, and I'm not done. I will keep working for this community. I love it and want to see the best for it.
Excellent. Thanks. Darren Priest has been our guest. This is KFRU.